With Ender, we have to strike a delicate balance. Isolate him enough that he remains creative. Otherwise, he'll adopt the system here and we'll lose him. At the same time, we need to make sure he keeps a strong ability to lead.
If he earns rank, he'll lead.
It isn't that simple. Mazer Rackham could handle his little fleet and win. By the time this war happens, there'll be too much, even for a genius. Too many little boats. He has to work smoothly with his subordinates.
Oh, good. He has to be a genius and nice, too.
Not nice. Nice will let the buggers have us all.
So what, so you're going to isolate him?
I'll have him completely separated from the rest of the boys by the time we get to the school.
Well, I have no doubt of it. I'll be waiting for you to get here. I watched the vids of what he did to the Stilson boy. This is not a sweet little kid you're bringing up here.
That's where you're mistaken. He's even sweeter than he looks. But don't worry. We'll purge that in a hurry.
Sometimes I think you enjoy breaking these little geniuses.
There is an art to it. And I'm very, very good at it. But enjoy? Well, maybe. When they put back the pieces afterward, it makes them better.
Oh, you are a monster.
Thanks. Does this mean I get a raise?
Yeah, just a medal. The budget isn't inexhaustible.
They say that weightlessness can cause disorientation, especially in children whose sense of direction isn't yet secure. But Ender was disoriented before he left Earth's gravity, before the shuttle launch even began. There were 19 other boys in his launch. They filed out of the bus and into the elevator. They talked and joked and bragged and laughed. Ender kept his silence. He noticed how Graf and the other officers were watching them, analyzing. Everything we do means something, Ender realized. Them laughing, me not laughing. He toyed with the idea of trying to be like the other boys, but he couldn't think of any jokes, and none of theirs seemed funny. Wherever their laughter came from, Ender couldn't find such a place in himself. He was afraid, and fear made him serious. They had dressed him in a uniform, all in a single piece. It felt funny not to have a belt cinched around his waist. He felt baggy and naked, dressed like that. There were TV cameras going, perched like animals on the shoulders of crouching, prowling men. The men moved slowly, cat-like, so the camera motion would be smooth. Ender caught himself moving smoothly, too. He imagined himself being on TV in an interview, the announcer asking him, "How do you feel, Mr. Wiggin?" "Actually quite well, except hungry." "Hungry? Oh, yes, they don't let you eat for 20 hours before the launch. How interesting, I never knew that. All of us are quite hungry, actually." And all the while during the interview, Ender and the TV guy would slink along smoothly in front of the cameraman, taking long, lithe strides. The TV guy was letting him be the spokesman for all the boys, though Ender was barely competent to speak for himself. For the first time, Ender felt like laughing. He smiled. The other boys near him were laughing at the moment, too, for another reason. "They think I'm smiling at their joke," thought Ender, "but I'm smiling at something much funnier." "Go up the ladder one at a time," said an officer. "When you come to an aisle with empty seats, take one. There aren't any window seats." It was a joke. The other boys laughed. Ender was near the last, but not the very last. The TV cameras did not give up, though. "Will Valentine see me disappear into the shuttle?" He thought of waving at her, of running to the cameraman and saying, "Can I tell Valentine goodbye?" He didn't know that it would be censored out of the tape if he did, for the boys soaring out to battle school were all supposed to be heroes. They weren't supposed to miss anybody. Ender didn't know about the censorship, but he did know that running to the cameras would be wrong. He walked the short bridge to the door in the shuttle. He noticed that the wall to his right was carpeted like a floor. That was where the disorientation began. The moment he thought of the wall as a floor, he began to feel like he was walking on a wall. He got to the ladder and noticed that the vertical surface behind it was also carpeted. "I am climbing up the floor, hand over hand, step by step." And then, for fun, he pretended that he was climbing down the wall. He did it almost instantly in his mind, convinced himself against the best evidence of gravity, until he reached an empty seat. He found himself gripping the seat tightly, even though gravity pulled him firmly against it. The other boys were bouncing on their seats a little, poking and pushing, shouting. Ender carefully found the straps, figured out how they fit together to hold him at crotch, waist, and shoulders. He imagined the ship dangling upside down on the undersurface of the Earth, the giant fingers of gravity holding them firmly in place. "But we will slip away," he thought. "We are going to fall off this planet." He did not know its significance at the time. Later, though, he would remember that it was even before he left Earth that he first thought of it as a planet like any other, not particularly his own.
"Ah, already figured it out," said Graf. He was standing on the ladder.
"Coming with us?" Ender asked.
"Well, I don't usually come down for recruiting," Graf said. "I'm kind of in charge there, administrator of the school, like a principal. They told me I had to come back or I'd lose my job," he smiled.
Ender smiled back. He felt comfortable with Graf. Graf was good, and he was principal of the battle school. Ender relaxed a little. He would have a friend there.